Man, coming to church is a beautiful thing, right? You just never know what you're going to get. You're going to have baby dedications, kids talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being out there dousing sand on one another, throwing water on me, which I didn't appreciate, but whatever. Just water, right? It's not just water when you have no change of clothes, so it's one of those things, but... But it was awesome anyway. I gladly went home soggy. It was great. I want to thank Pastor Gerald and Stephanie and Elena. She's not here. She's at a wedding, and for staying and being with those kids and imparting into them, taking time off of work. Gerald had to leave two times to come to mandatory meetings, and I filled in for him and. Along with Chris, and we did whatever it took to get the job done so that these kids could have an encounter with God that forever changed their lives. So thank you very much for that. I really appreciate that. Amen. Well, guys, there's a couple things I want to share with you before we get started this morning. Number one, this coming Friday at 6:30, we are going to have our quarterly night of praise and worship called Converge. This coming Friday night at 6:30, poke your neighbor and say, it's this coming Friday at 6:30. Be here. And what we're going to do is we're going to worship God. How many of you guys enjoy worship on Sunday mornings? Just imagine being the focus on a Friday evening after a long week. You get off of work and you say, well, Pastor, I get off at 6. Great, come straight from work. But I haven't ate. Pack something, eat it on the way. Get here on a Friday and worship God along with your church family. That's going to be our focus. We're going to worship, and then we're going to take time out and we're going to pray. That's also going to be a time where we allow the Holy Spirit to move and to flow in our midst and be an encouragement to one another. And be a blessing. It's a powerful, powerful night of worship. This coming Friday at 6:30, be here as we worship the Lord. All right? Also, I haven't really made any formal announcements about this, but somehow we've got 10 guys that have signed up for it already. We have our men's conference coming up called Stronger. And that's going to be September 23rd through the 24th at Spencer Lake in Waupaca. If you've never been to it, it is absolutely amazing. There's about 400 guys that show up from all across the state, and it's an all-men's affair. I mean, when you get there, there's a steak dinner waiting on you this thick with potatoes and vegetables. Amazing, amazing food. Kind of goes downhill after that, but... But the worship, the services, the time together is phenomenal. And so guys, if you've never been, sign up back there. And we're going to get going on that. So sign up. It's going to be an amazing time, okay? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17? Just kind of put your thumb right there. I'm going to be reading a bunch of scriptures, but the message today is going to be centered around John 17. And really, this is the Lord's prayer to me. Jesus is praying for himself. He's praying for his disciples. And he's praying for future believers. Who is that? You and I. It's us. And he prays diligently and passionately for us. And so we're going to talk about, this is our third week in the installment of Vital Signs of a Healthy Church. This is part two. And we've been talking about what a healthy church looks like. Today we're going to be talking about be united with one another. Now, I'm not a reaction pastor or preacher. I don't preach on things because it just happens. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it warrants that. But I believe a healthy church is preemptive in its messages. We have unity in our church. We have health and strength and vitality in our church. But we need to be preemptive in our teachings and preemptive in the way we receive the scriptures in order that we can hide God's word in our hearts so that we can be ready in case there is any disunity. And know this, there is power in unity in the body of Christ. Amen? If you've been going to church any length of time, you have seen what disunity does to churches, right? You've seen what gossiping does. You've seen what dissensions do. You've seen what backbiting does. You see the negative aspect of what it does to a church, but the power of unity brings glory to God. It tells a lost world that that God is alive and well through His body. And so today we're going to be talking about some of those things, and I want you to pray with me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of unity that sets us free, that liberates us, that changes us. Lord, I thank you that we are your agents alive here on earth to shine forth the glory of God through our unity with one another. Lord, thank you for your spirit. Thank you that it leads and guides us. And Lord, today, I thank you that your word strengthens us, your word teaches us today, and your word challenges us to stay connected. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about how we're uniquely designed, that we're not just humanly designed. We are in fact divinely designed. And a few weeks ago, I gave you one of these. How many of you still got your little puzzle piece? A puzzle piece represents this. It represents who you are. You are uniquely designed. When God created you, He knew what He was doing when He uniquely put these little designs in you. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what our puzzle piece is connected to, or figure out how uniquely designed we are, or what our passions are, or talents, or all these different things. We're trying to figure them out. But here's the beauty of the body, is that puzzle pieces are not meant to stay by themselves, because they have been uniquely designed to fit other puzzle pieces. Just like this one that has been put together. I've got tape on it, so just like this one. Each of these puzzle pieces have been uniquely designed, but yet they fit together perfectly. They're fit together perfectly so that it forms a beautiful picture that the designer has made to please not only himself, but everybody that puts it together. Each and every piece has been put together perfectly to form a beautiful picture. How many of you guys ever put a puzzle together? How many of you guys have ever done the 1,000-piece puzzles? What is the matter with you guys? Really? Seriously? Wow. Really didn't think there was anybody. But I remember as a kid growing up that, you know, my mom, she would do puzzles all the time, and they'd be scattered all over the table. And she would have the blues over here and the corners over here and so forth. And all the sides, she had those figured out. And so it was easier for her to put it together. And there was a couple of pieces she didn't know what to do with. It didn't seem like it fit in anywhere until she got further along in the puzzle and realized that these misfit pieces fit perfectly to form a beautiful picture. And sometimes we feel misfit as well. We feel like we don't fit in. We feel like we don't have a place. We feel like our personality is misunderstood. We feel like nobody would understand our story. We feel like that people would be freaked out if we even told our story because it's so extreme. So we don't know what to do with ourselves. Ever felt that way before? I know I have. I felt that way. Remember when I first started going to church, I didn't know where I fit in. I didn't realize that God had uniquely designed me to fit into a local body of Christ. I didn't understand what these ridges meant and what these dips meant and how uniquely I was fit together. Until I started going to church, until I started actually listening to the Word, until I started actually studying Scripture, until I started listening to what my pastor was preaching, and then things started to make sense in my life. I began to understand what God had called me to do. And that my design, my unique design, was meant to fit uniquely into the body of Christ so that it makes a beautiful picture. I was just telling Scott that if you're not here, don't think that you're going unmissed whatsoever, because it's important that you're here. Why is that? So that we can check you off on the roll? No. Because you are a blessing to the body of Christ. You have significance in the body of Christ. There's not one person in this room that is insignificant and powerless and without a story and without worth. You have worth. Your story matters. Your influence matters here at this local body called New Freedom Church. We are all uniquely designed to do certain things, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to serve. Did you know that you do not have to have it all together to be a blessing? Did you know that you can serve through your pain? Did you know that you can serve through hurt? Did you know that? You don't have to have it all together to be a blessing. You don't have to have it all together to worship God with all your heart. You can do it right in your mess. Right in your struggle, you can worship God. Right in your confusion, you can touch the hand of God and know that He has heard you. It's important that you know how your puzzle piece fits in so that you can be a blessing. Today, if you're a visitor, if this is the first time you've ever heard a message like this, I pray that it messes you up. I pray that it challenges you. I pray that it challenges you to seek out what God has uniquely designed you to be. It doesn't matter how dark your past is. It doesn't matter how religious your past was and is. It doesn't matter how good you may think you are. You have a part to play. Your story matters. Look to your neighbor and say, your story matters. I know, I get you guys saying some weird stuff all the time. I do that so you'll look each other in the eye every once in a while. That's important. Dana and I went out to dinner last night at Black and Tan. Yeah, very expensive. Thank God we had a gift card, right? And so we were eating, and there was no kids around, no distractions, none of that. She was sitting on one side, I was sitting on the other, and I caught her just staring at me. I mean, I really don't blame her, but like she was, it's all right, honey. I get it. But it's funny because I actually thought I had like food on my face or something. But we caught eyes and we locked eyes. It's important to do that. It's important to look at somebody and say, listen, I know you're struggling, and I have been where you've been, and I'm telling you, there is hope. Let me show you how I did it. Would you come to my house tomorrow so that we can have coffee, and I want to share with you how I got through this? Would you come out to lunch with me? Would you guys want to come after church? I'm buying. I want to share my story with you because I can see you're struggling. Or saying, instead of being jealous about a victory in somebody's life, how about saying, hey, you know what? After service, I'm so excited, I'm buying. Let's go to a Pizza Ranch, I'm buying. I want to celebrate. We'll be there. I want to celebrate with you because God did an amazing thing in your life. Praise God, that's awesome. To celebrate with one another, that's important. And so today we're going to be talking about be united with one another. This is a vital sign of a healthy church, which is unity. All right? Scripture speaks a great length about unity. Jeremiah 32, 38 through 39 says this. I'm going to be going through these quickly, so there they are up on the screen. It says this. They, and this is God speaking. He said, they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action. And here's the reason why. So that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. Did you guys get that? Unity is described as not only a here and now thing, a here and now issue, but a generational issue as well. Our unity as a body affects the next generation. Because the next generation will look at us as a body and see, gosh, man, they're fighting all the time. This is not healthy. This can't be right. And what we do, our influence, not only influences the here and now, but it affects us generationally. At Matt and Lystra's wedding, which congratulations to you guys. There they are. Mr. and Mrs. Clausen. One of the things I talked about and encouraged Matt to do is this, is that he no longer looks at himself as day-to-day, as his influence as day-to-day, but he looks at his influence in his, with his wife and with their future kids in generations. So we don't just think the here about here and now, but we think generationally. My kids are going to benefit from my influence and from my wife's influence after they're out of the house. That they would have their own walk with Christ. That they don't love God because they're some preacher's kids. But they love God because they've experienced God. Because they have seen God in their mom and dad. Because they have seen what a man of God looks like. And how a man of God fails. And how a man of God succeeds. And how a woman of God prays for her husband. And so forth. And that leads to his generation and to his kids. What I decided to do as an 18-year-old kid is going to influence not only Christian and Joshua's life, but their children and their children after that. Because I'm thinking generationally here. As believers, the effects that we have on people doesn't just affect us on the here and now, but it affects the next generation. It's important, church, we get it right now. Amen? We get it right now. And so Acts 4:32 says this, all the believers were with one heart and one mind. Romans 15:5-6 says this, may the God who gives endurance and courage give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's always a reason for unity. Always. In 1 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11, which says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Church, that is a powerful force. This scripture is not talking about, well, just agree to agree, okay? Just try to get along and maybe you'll make some kind of influence in the world. No, it's saying agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Dana and I were talking about ALS. Was it this morning? It was last night. Yesterday? You've seen a person with ALS? Their body starts to betray them. Starts from the bottom and goes up. You lose function of your legs. You lose function of your hands and arms, of your breathing. And eventually, you die. You see, a church is kind of the same way. If it's not walking in unity, if it's not walking in one mind and one thought, then it begins to lose sense of its faculties. And it doesn't function properly. Then the church starts looking inward instead of outward. Church, we have an outward focus. We have a focus on our community. We have a focus on each other. We have a focus upon the Lord as we do it. And it's important that the arms are operating correctly, that the hands and feet are operating correctly, that the head and the neck and the small toe and the big toe and the fingers are all functioning correctly. You ever seen an individual who has been laid up in the hospital and almost at the point of death, but then pull through and watch them struggle to walk again? Watch them struggle to use their hands again. Watch them struggle as they learn how to speak again. It's the same with the body. If we don't use it, we lose it. And it's important that as a united body, as a united church, that we are functioning on all cylinders. That we are not only just worshiping God, we're not only encouraging one another, but we're also reaching out to our community because we believe that we have the cure to the ills of not only Howard, not only Green Bay, not only Wisconsin, not only America, but to each and every person that has breath in their lungs, and that's Jesus. This world needs to see the unity of the body more than ever before. Our country is so fractured, it needs to see the light of the world. It needs to see the Son of God through you and us corporately as a church. Amen? So the question is, how are we doing in our quest for unity within the community of faith? Are we united as one person? Are we living together in singleness of heart this morning? Singleness of thought this morning? Are we firing on all cylinders? These are tough questions because left to ourselves, we don't automatically drift to unity. As a matter of fact, history tells us that we default toward disunity. And the reason why is because we do not understand the power of unity, the power of celebrating diversity, the power of celebrating individuality and what God has implanted in each and every one of you. And because of that, because we don't understand that, we begin to start coveting what somebody else has. We start grumbling and complaining. We call others that are just trying to operate in the giftings God called them to do as super and hyper spiritual. They're Christian extremists. Or because they don't understand the call of God on their life, they start to backbite and call names or talk behind their backs. See, that's our default. We default to that because we don't understand the power of unity and celebrating diversity within the body. I have seen firsthand how Satan's work to sever relationships among Christians. His number one mission is to divide us because he also knows that a house divided cannot stand. So I've come to the conclusion, as for me, that I will do whatever it takes to maintain unity within the church and make sure that I'm not the cause of unnecessary clashes between my brothers and sisters in Christ. As far as it is for me, I'm choosing to do that. To celebrate your uniqueness and not covet it. To celebrate what God has placed in you rather than tearing it down because I don't understand it. As far as it is to me, this is what I have coveted to do to myself. To be a blessing, to understand what God has uniquely designed me to do in order that I may be a blessing, not only to myself and my family, but also to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus prayed this. Turn with me now to John 17, verse 11. Jesus is praying, and he said this to the Lord, to the Father. Jesus said, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world," talking about his disciples. "And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus knew that the church would not make it if they could not operate together as a body. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 17, verse 21 and through 23, Jesus is praying. He said, Jesus is praying for all believers when he says, that all of them may be one, Father, as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have sent me. Now, a few things jump out to me here in this piece of scripture. Number one, what sticks out to me is the parameters of oneness include all believers. It includes all of us. He didn't just want us to get along with a few people or even with everyone in the church, but that all of them may be one. True believers are one, no matter what name is on the church sign. Amen? How many of you guys ever heard this saying? You can tie two cats together. Now, if you got cats, all right, don't be offended by what I'm about to say, all right? You can tie two cats together by their tails and throw them over a clothesline and call that union, right? They are united. They're tied together. But there certainly won't be unity in that union. All right? And here's the thing. It is possible to be diverse and yet not divided. Let me say that again. It is possible to be diverse and yet not divided. We have different gifts, abilities, personalities, thoughts, and opinions. We're not called to be the same. We are called to be one. Amen? We are called to be one. Let's show this country how diversity is done in the church. Let's show this country how we celebrate diversity in the body of Christ. That we celebrate differences. We celebrate ethnicity. We celebrate the diversity of gifts and talents. We celebrate different opinions and so forth. It may not be well received sometimes, but at the end of the day, we celebrate it because we know that coming together creates health and glorifies God and points people to the Father. So we celebrate unity or our differences and diversity. So let's show our society how the church does diversity. Amen? Number two, the second thing that stands out to me in Jesus' prayer is the purpose of oneness is to accelerate evangelism. Look again at verse 21. It says, so that the world may believe. Notice we are not to enjoy unity for our own sakes. God's plan is that the world would believe in Him in part through the unified oneness of the body. When unity is fractured within the church, the bridge between believer and unbeliever is blown up and destroyed. No person wants to come into a church that is embattled, that is angry with one another, that has ushers and greeters that look at people as they come in the door and go, what are you doing here? This world needs to see a church that loves genuinely, that believes passionately, that serves selflessly, and that honors God and worships with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength, that isn't ashamed of the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't ashamed and functions in the prophetic, that functions in worship, that teaches us how to glorify God, that teaches us our responsibility in the body of Christ. As a visitor, if you were here for the first time, maybe this is your second, third, or fourth time here, I pray that you see a church that loves God with all their heart, that is missional, that has a purpose, that loves this community. And if you give us a chance, we'll love you back. And so the second thing is that concerning the power of unity, oneness, is to accelerate evangelism. I am convinced this morning that dissensions and disunity have hindered more revivals than we could ever know. Disunity, dysfunction, has hindered God's hand upon the church and revival in the church because of it. We need to be united. We need to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just on next Friday at 6:30, but that we're inviting each other into our homes, that we are meeting with one another. One of the coolest things that I love is that I'll get on Facebook and I'll see that there's about five or six couples in our church that get together outside of this, and they go out to eat, they order in pizza, they get old school games and like that baseball, Nintendo baseball, and they play together and stuff that's just non-spiritual, but it's just a whole lot of fun. Right? Jason says amen. We all have something to teach somebody else. We all think that our tiny little gifts are insignificant. But let me tell you, it's indispensable. You are indispensable. You have value beyond your understanding. And it's important that as we function correctly, in unity, in oneness, then evangelism is accelerated. That we all of a sudden we're functioning and we're going, you know, I'm so proud of my church, and because of it, I'm going to invite anybody that I see. I want you to come to New Freedom Church. I want you to check it out. This crazy Southern pastor says some Southern stuff sometimes that just cracks me up. You need to come to New Freedom Church and check out the worship. It's powerful. I want you to meet some of the folks that go to my church. I'm telling you, they're amazing. I want you to experience the altar calls. I want you to experience the greeting as you come in and how you're greeted with love. Check out my church. That accelerates evangelism. Amen? Now here's some steps we can take to be in unity with each other. Number one. We choose to be a unifier. Instead of judging, gossiping, slandering others, search for ways you can be a unifier. Stop being abrasive and just cut some people some slack. Show some love. Show some compassion. Show some empathy. There's a Chinese proverb that says, as I read this, I chuckled because it's so true. It says, do not remove a fly from your father's forehead with a hatchet, or for your friend's forehead with a hatchet. In other words, watch your words. Be gentle. Be caring. When you go up to, you see a brother and sister in Christ that are struggling, you don't take a hammer to them. You come along beside them and you link arms together with them. And become a unifier. Be a unifier. Number two, another step we can take to be in unity with each other is this. Be a forgiver. Be a forgiver. Be like the child who was overheard saying her, quoting a portion of scripture that says this, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have passed trash against us." I love kids, man. That's so awesome. Questionnaire this morning, I wrote this down when I saw this. Are you passing trash this morning? Are you passing trash this morning? Get rid of it before you start stinking. Some of you are being eaten alive today because of bitterness, because of unforgiveness in your life. Let me go on and I'll show you an example, okay? I'll just give you an example. Greg, would you come up here? Randy, would you come up here? Yeah, no, I didn't ask. That's because I knew you'd say no, so. It's one of those tough deals. So would you guys just stand right here. Just stand right here. All right, turn toward everybody. Now I just want you to link arms. Just link arms. This is how the world needs to see the church. And here's what unforgiveness does. It creates offenses in our life. It creates barriers between our brothers. And what happens is, I told you that the enemy wants to get in any possible way he can between Greg and Randy. Any possible weak link, he's going to find it. He's going to test the body. He's going to test for stability. He's going to test to see if there's any dissensions, if they have any wrong with one another. And if he finds one little crack, this is what's going to happen. He's going to start, loosen up a little bit, guys. He's going to start wedging himself in between, and he's going to separate them. He is a master at it. Don't take the devil's influence for granted. So many of us, on the other hand, rebuke the devil when we should be rebuking ourselves. Come on now. That's good stuff. But what happens is that we need to forgive one another and humble ourselves so that we can come back together as a body again, united as a solid front. Amen? A solid front. Johnny, would you come up here? Would you grab one of those boards? Christian, would you come up here? Christian, grab one. Hey, Benny, good to see you, man. Grab a board. So here's what happens. Gus, come on up here. Gus and Double Gus, y'all come on up here. Grab a board. Here's what happens. The enemy comes in and he's looking for any instability. He's looking for anything that's unstable, anything that he can wedge himself into. And it may take a while, because offenses, the reason why we harbor offenses, or what happens to offenses, is this, is it turns into bitterness. And when an offense turns into bitterness is when we don't deal with that offense. If you're living and breathing, somebody's going to offend you. If you're here long enough at this church, somebody is going to inadvertently offend you. And at that moment, you have an offense in your life. And what happens is that, Christian, if you'll come here with that board. Hold the board this way. And what happens is that the enemy comes in, y'all break apart. And all of a sudden, Randy, you come in front right here. We start building a fence. And when we don't deal with that offense, step behind Christian up on the stage. If we don't deal with that, Johnny, would you come right here with your board? That's going to lead to anything that Greg says to Randy is going to lead to another offense, because he did not deal with the first offense in his life. And what happens then is that, Benny, come on up here, is that anything else Randy says to Greg is going to be an offense. Come on up here. Hold yours up. And then another offense. and then another offense. And what happens is that we continue to build offense and harbor offenses in our life to the point where this brother can't see the other brother because there's a barrier between the two. And the effect is that the body is damaged. There's no unity anymore. There's no structure, there's no power, there's no influence, there's only hurt, there's only resentment, there's only anger, there's only destruction, unforgiveness, and rage. How in the world can we be the light of the world when we look like the world ourselves? And what happens is that sometimes we can't choose. Randy, if you'll hold this. Sometimes we can't choose how offenses may come. We can't choose how they're going to come. Sometimes they come in like this. Sometimes they come in like that. But what we can do is choose what to do with our offense. And sometimes, every time, what we need to do is choose to let it go. We need to choose to let it go. What does that mean, Pastor? Does that mean we just let the offense go? Well, let me ask you a question. By harboring that offense, what has it done to you? What has it profited you? What has it caused in your life to have an offense with your brother? We as a body need to understand that we need to take these offenses and let them go. Choose to let them go. And listen, you do not have the strength on your own to let them go. We have inside of us what Jesus said, I have given them my glory that you have given me. And what does that mean? That we have a strength and an anointing on ourselves to take that offense and drop it, Johnny. Drop it, Benny. Drop it, Gus. Drop it, Senior. And let those offenses go. You guys go that way. You guys go back to your seat. You guys come this way. And choose as a body. Choose as a body to let it go. It makes a thunderous crash, but the end result is that they are arm in arm again. That they are one unit of one mind, one heart, one spirit, one goal, one vision. And that is to go forth and show forth the glory of God and tell everybody that will listen what brought them out of darkness and into the wondrous light wasn't their own selves, but was all to the glory of God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Some of you here today are harboring offenses in your life that has stunted your growth, not just as a Christian, but as a human being. We reach for disunity. We love it. You revel in it. And you are satisfied by it. You didn't start out that way. Nobody wants to start out that way. But it's what happens when we don't deal with the offense in our life. We build this barrier up and no one can get through it. We take this offense and instead of dealing with it, we turn it on its end and we dig it deeper and fortify it stronger around our lives so that nobody can penetrate, including the voice of the Lord. And we harden our hearts. And we say that we're a part of the church, but yet our heart's not in it. We speak against it. We come because we want to point out that pastor preaches too long, or the lights are too dim, or it's too cold in here. What time are we going to get out of here? And we walk out the same hateful individual as when we came in. You have the power to take these offenses and throw them down. A lot of times we can't control how they come in our life, but we sure can control how they exit our life. Amen? And if you can't forgive yourself, if the enemy has fed you a lie that you are unforgivable, that you are unlovable, that you are unlikable, then you go to a brother in Christ, not that is as sick as you are, but you go to somebody else that is healthy, that has been there and done that, has overcome, and allow them to speak truth in your life so that you can submit yourself to the Word and throw those fences down again. It's important that we take any resentment, any bitterness, any anger that's taking root within our heart and cast them out. We have the power to do that. And lastly, the last step we can take to be in unity with one another is to be a worker. Are you willing to live out the truth that is in Ephesians 3 that says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? What one thing can you do this week to keep the unity of the Spirit? What is one thing in your life you can do this week to apply this word today, this week to your life, to keep the unity in spirit? Now, in that relationship you were just thinking about right now, have you made every effort to keep the unity? Or have you just sort of tried? In closing here, as I was looking up some things and about unity, I came across a covenant that this ministry makes every person that they hire sign before they hire them as part of the team on the ministry. And as I read this, if you agree with this, I want you to stand. Here's the covenant. We personally and corporately agree to commit to pursue reconciliation and, when possible, resolution in all interpersonal conflict. If you agree with this, I want you to just begin to stand. I personally and corporately agree to commit to talk directly to those with whom we experience conflict rather than talking about them to others. I personally commit to want to talk to people, not about people. Be edifying in our discussions about others. Hold each other accountable when we violate these commitments. If you're willing to be an answer to Jesus' prayers, all around of us, all about of us, stand in agreement. Church, your puzzle piece, it matters. Your story matters. The way you handle offense and hurt in your life matters. It matters how you cast them down or how you harbor them. It matters. Because it either brings unity and health to the body, or it brings confusion, destruction. It doesn't matter how worthless you may feel. It doesn't matter where you've come from or who your parents are or what your lineage is. Do you know what my lineage is? I come from a long line of alcoholics, abusers. Both sides of my family are wrought with sickness. My brother laid up in the hospital. Even now, on dialysis, I come from a long line of that. come from a long line of divorce, womanizing. That's some of my lineage. But my dad put a stop to that. I asked my dad, I said, Dad, how come, why did you not turn out like your dad? Why did you not turn out like your brother who is an alcoholic? He said, son, because I made a decision in my life that I was not going to go down that road, and I stuck to my decision. His decision has a direct impact on my life right now. I want to encourage you that if you have an offense in your life, let it go. A lot of times we can't choose how they come into our life, but we sure can choose how they exit our life. Would you covet today to be a unifier? Would you covet today to be a forgiver? And would you covet today to be a worker? Look, we need you. We're about to do some wonderful things here in this church, and it's coming up in October. The first Sunday in October, we're going to go to two services. Why are we going to do that? Why? Because we want to create more space so that other people can hear the good news. What other people are you talking about, Pastor? The people you personally invite. The people I personally invite. Because I want this community to see what a healthy body looks like. What a unified body looks like. I'm proud of my church. If somebody gives me an inch to talk about New Freedom Church or talk about the Lord, I'm going to do it. Because I'm proud of your story. I'm proud of how we fit together. I don't know where that piece went, but how we all fit together right here. How we are unified. Some of us may still be broken. All of us may be dealing with something in our life, but we are unified. We're moving forward. I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, do that today before you leave here today. Don't leave this place the way you came in. If you're struggling today, get that stuff under the blood of Jesus. If you're dealing with offenses in your life, you come up here, you have my permission to take that board, all of them if you have that many, and cast them down and represent you laying those things down in your life and walk away. Amen? Let's bow our heads together. Pastor Johnny and Gerald, Linda, Stephanie, would you guys come up here? Today, if you're dealing with some of these things in your life, you need to get that rectified today. Don't harbor it one more day. Put it on notice. Give it an eviction notice and say, your day in my life is done. So I'm going to pray. And if you need prayer, I want you to come up while I'm praying. If today you want to receive Christ, I want you to come. And allow one of these brothers and sisters in Christ lead you to the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want you to come. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you. And I thank you so much that, Lord, while we were yet sinners, you still prayed for us. You still prayed for us. You said to your Father, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus went on to pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as you are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. and have loved them even as you have sent me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for praying for us, for delivering us, for giving us a way out. Today, if you're dealing with any of those things, you've got issues in your life that need to be dropped today, come today and drop that at the foot of the cross. Come today and drop that at the foot of the cross. Come today. Come today. I'm going to wait a minute. Let's just be in the attitude of prayer. If you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, don't white knuckle the back of somebody's seat. Just come. Just come today. Allow the Spirit of God to sweep over you, to heal you, to make you new today. He can do that. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the gift of your Son, Jesus, in order that we may know you through his blood, that we may be sons and daughters of God, so that we can show forth your glory to anyone that will listen, that you are truly the way, the truth, the life. And Lord, I pray right now for all of us that if we are harboring offenses in our life, that we would cast them down, that we would not harbor bitterness or resentment against our brother and sister, but we choose to let it go. No matter how justified we may feel, we choose today to let it go. And Lord, if I have an offense with my brother and sister in Christ within the church, Lord, may you help me to let it go, to ask for forgiveness or try to bring reconciliation between me and my brother or sister. Lord, today I want to be a unifier. Today I want to be a worker. Today I want to be a forgiver. Today I want to be united. So Lord, today we trust you. We trust you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray over the unity of this church. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be quick to repent, that you would help us to deal with each other with grace and in humility. May we humbly ask for forgiveness. May we humbly receive forgiveness, so that we as a body can come together to form this beautiful picture with our individual puzzle piece to make a beautiful portrait of your love and your grace. And Lord, as people begin to see this picture, may you be glorified. May you be lifted up. May you be strengthened and encouraged by the unity that we have in one another. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else this morning that needs prayer? If you do, come forward. I'll pray over you. If you have things in your life you need to get rid of and lay down, let's do that now. Let's get it done. Amen? Let's not harbor that any longer. Let's give it no place in our life so that we can be united again. I'm going to pray and dismiss. And when we do, I just want to encourage you to be respectful for those that are praying. Stay and enjoy one another's company, all right? Don't forget this coming Friday at 6:30 right here. We're going to come together and worship together. Be united in worship together. Amen. Father in heaven, I come before you, and I thank you so much for each and every person that is here today. Their story, their life, their testimony matters. And I thank you that we come together from our different places, our different homes, our different backgrounds, and we form this beautiful picture of your love and your grace. God, keep us as a church unified, solid and strong, missional. We give no place to the enemy here at New Freedom Church. May you root out all dissensions and disunity in order that we may be united in heart and in deed. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.